Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Last week, we ended with the question, is hell real? So, of course, I have another question. Is heaven real?
We'll talk about those two questions today.
There were two men, John and Fred, and they loved baseball.
Oh, boy, like do they ever. Baseball, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they wondered, is there going to be baseball in heaven?
Ah.
So they agreed that if one of them died first, that one would come back and tell the other one whether there was going to be baseball or not.
Okay. Hmm.
So one day, John died, but Fred wondered, is he going to come back and tell me? Well, one night, Fred was sitting in his chair, and all of a sudden, John appeared sitting on the couch. And Fred said, oh, John, oh, I've missed you so, but tell me, is there going to be baseball in heaven? John said, well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is, yes, there is going to be baseball in heaven.
Yay.
The bad news is you're pitching tomorrow.
Ooh.
I've got my cat Jack on my lap, and that makes me think of another joke. This cat went to heaven, and God said, you've been a very good cat all your life. What would you like? And it's yours. The cat said, well, I want a pillow all my own. A nice, big, fluffy pillow.
Okay.
God said, there it is. And this huge pillow appeared. Well, a little while later, about 12 mice came to heaven. And God said, oh, you have had to be so brave all your lives. You've been chased, almost had your tails cut off with a carving knife. So what would you like? And they said, well, we can never run fast enough. So we'd like roller skates, please. So all of them got roller skates.
Okay.
Well, several weeks later, God decided to visit the cat to see how he was doing.
Okay.
And the cat was luxuriating on his pillow. And God said, so how is it going? Oh, now pillow is perfect. It stays all big and fluffy and clean. But you know what's best? Those meals on wheels that keep zipping by and I get to catch them.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a Swede who died, and sadly, he went to hell.
Oh, no.
And he was burning up, and it was super hot. And then his friend came and joined him in hell. And he's burning up and sweating. And then all of a sudden, their other friend came who they all like to watch football together and drink beer and cuss and swear and everything. And he joined them. And the devil thought, I'd you better check on these three guys. And he walked over and they're cheering. They're cheering and going crazy.
Oh, no.
And the devil scratched his head and goes, I wonder why they're cheering. All I did was switch from fire to ice, and the three Swedes shouted out, hooray, hooray, the Vikings have won the Super Bowl, when hell freezes over.
Oh. On a more serious note, I heard something once that really struck me. It said, if you're life is in Jesus' hands, then this life is the closest you will ever get to hell.
Hmm.
But if you've decided to take your own way, turn away from Jesus, then this life is the closest you will ever get to heaven.
That's pretty deep. And so we come now to that real question. Is heaven and is hell real? First, I think it needs to be noted that throughout history, every culture, except for one, has had the belief in the afterlife and God, heaven and hell. Note that. Afterlife, God, heaven and hell. All cultures, no matter which one it is, except for one, and that is communism. Communism says it's only of this world, and that's what we live for. But all other religions of the world, no matter which one it is, speaks about an afterlife of God, of heaven and hell. Now, Cecilia, you made a very interesting point about our modern culture today.
When we die, we all want good things in the afterlife. And we certainly don't want bad things in our afterlife.
That's actually true in the here and now.
That is just true. Like the you're
afterlife.
Right.
But what does that then mean in the afterlife?
We all want good things in heaven.
Heaven.
Whatever version of heaven that is.
Uh-huh.
We certainly don't want bad things in whatever version of hell we believe in.
Yeah, yeah. And so many have taken the thought of communism and say, oh, let's hold on to the good things, heaven, but let's get rid of the bad stuff and hell.
In other words, hell doesn't exist for them.
Yeah, and some people hold to that. Now, they're veering off of what history has shown throughout. And I really think that comes from this point, we all want good things. But it's negating the fact of the innate thing that is within all human beings. There's a God, there's an afterlife, there's a heaven, and there's a hell. So we as Christians, what do we believe about heaven and hell? Well, when you look at the Bible, first it says that...
I know which verse you're talking about. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death,
mm-hmm.
but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now think about that. If you work a 40-hour week,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the 40 hours, you expect what?
I expect to be paid, of course.
Yeah, that's the wages. You get paid. And that's what this is saying. Because of what you've done, the wages of sin is
death.
We're going to talk about death a bit more. But notice it says then, not an earnings, but what does it switch to for Christians?
It's a gift.
A gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. And it does that because we understand that what sin is about is created such a thing in our humanity that we can't earn our salvation. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't by ourselves do it. And this stands Christianity different than all other religions of the world, because other ones say, do this, keep these laws, keep these regulations, follow these ordinances, and be a good person, and you'll be in the afterlife, the good side. But Christianity says, no, the free gift of God is eternal life. And the simple Bible verse, and sometimes it's held out in football stadiums, is John 3:16.
Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life.
Whoever believes in him, meaning believing that Jesus died for our sins, taking our place, taking our punishment. And because he took that, he then can give us eternal life. And then there's another one from John that's extremely important, that is all about the Christian faith. Jesus was standing at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus, who had just died. And he was speaking to his the sister of Lazarus, Martha. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And it's interesting what he said. He turned it around. First, he says, he who believes shall live even though he dies. So believe and live. And then he turns around. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. And that's speaking of the resurrection. And then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And therefore, from this verse and many others, we hold as Christians that heaven is going to be the resurrection of the body. And now I'm quoting the Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. That for us, it isn't just the soul, but it is the body as well, the body and the soul. That's why Jesus died. He died for our punishment, but he rose bodily to show us this is what's going to happen for us too, who live. We're going to live in the body. Now, the scriptures also speak about the other side, hell. And this is what started the whole thing, if you remember, when we were in Luke chapter 16. The rich man was in hell, and he looked up and saw
another Lazarus.
Yeah.
Well,
and he was saying, help me, help me. It's horrible, horrible torture down here. And Abraham, and we'll speak about this more later, Abraham mentioned there's a chasm. We can't cross over. And you had good things, but now you don't. Lazarus had bad things, but now he has good things. And the point in that story was it was faith that made the difference for them. And that's why it was Abraham he was speaking to. We do believe in hell. And the best verse I can think of to speak about that is John 3:17. Right after, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Cecilia, can you quote it?
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That saying, to save it, means it was already condemned. That's why he didn't come into the world to condemn it. It was already condemned, meaning we were in hell. We were already sinners. And Jesus had to save us. And so that's the basic foundation of heaven and hell and who and what and why we believe it.
Let's start reading in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
So this is really one of the key foundations of our understanding of heaven and hell. But do note, when he first talked to the believers, the righteous, what did he say? Come and take
the kingdom prepared for you.
No, there's a word there you missed. That's true. Come and take your inheritance.
Oh.
An inheritance is not something you earn. It's not something you gain. It's something given. It's a gift based upon your relationship. And that's how we receive heaven. It's that we're children of God. And being a child of God, we receive an inheritance. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it one way or another. And how do we become a child of God? It's by faith, by faith. And they were righteous, were surprised, and so were the unrighteous by Jesus's comment about being hungry and thirsty. And it's because these things the righteous just naturally did. They did visit the sick or the ill. They helped people in need, and they just did it because that's what they do as children of God. It's instinctive.
Yes.
And those who aren't righteous, those who aren't trusting in Jesus, they're thinking of themselves. And so they're more selfish. And so they didn't think about Jesus. And so they didn't do these things. So it's not about doing, but the key word is inheritance. It's all about faith and our being a child of God.
So, is there anything more you can tell us about Judgment Day?
A speck more. You like to watch crime trials, don't you, Cecilia, on YouTube?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know it's one of your passions. But in a trial, there's actually two aspects or two parts to it, is there not?
Oh, there's several parts, but go ahead.
So, if they're found guilty, is it all done?
No. There's the sentencing part.
And does that happen right away?
Usually not.
Yeah. And that's what Judgment Day is. When we die, that's like the first sentencing. And then Judgment Day, when Jesus returns, that's like the verdict of, okay, how much time? Well, for us, it's eternal life if we believe in Jesus. So boom, Judgment Day is a heroic acceptance and cheerful thing for Christians. It's the sad thing for the non-Christians.
Okay, but what about those of us who die before Judgment Day?
Yeah, the body is dead. And that's kind of the allusion to that John 11 verse. If we believe we'll live, even though we die, we're going to be in heaven. The soul goes right to heaven. The body rests in the ground. And we sometimes hear about people talking about sleep, that the believer is asleep in the Lord.
Yeah, well, Paul talks about that even.
Exactly. That's the body. The soul goes right to the hands of Jesus and is resting with Jesus. Those who do not believe, the soul goes directly to hell. Judgment Day waits, because that Judgment Day, the bodies are resurrected of the believer to everlasting life and the unbeliever to eternal death.
Why do we need a body if our souls are happily with Christ?
Ah, because we're human. That's how he made us. And this is really an astounding thing. God is spirit. He made something when he created the world different than himself. The matter, the physicalness with the five senses. And that's what it is to be human. We have five senses: see, smell, taste, touch,
and
hear. Yeah. And so we have to have them back because that's who it is to be human. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead, to show that we will live again in the body as well as the soul. The soul goes to rest with him until... And the scripture is kind of vague. There's one verse that says we're asleep in Jesus, even the soul. And the other says we're in hands of Jesus in heaven, like this story with Lazarus in 16. Mm-hmm. We're aware of things. And yet there's some allusion also to the fact that as soon as we die, boom, it's Judgment Day and no time has passed.
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah. And so it's a kind of little vague. I had one person, her name was Cindy, who was blind, and she said she was dying of cancer. And I talked with her and shared Jesus with her, and she wanted everlasting life. She said, so when I die, am I just going to lay there on the ground? I said, no, the soul goes to be with Jesus. You're with him right as you die. Your body will rest in the ground, but on Judgment Day, they'll be put back together and you'll live again. With no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no cancer, none of those things. But that's Judgment Day at the resurrection. Until the resurrection, though, our soul is with Jesus when we are a believer. Well, Cecilia, it's time. We've got to stop and close.
But, Pastor Dave, I still have more questions.
There are a lot more. How about we continue this in the next lesson, including all those random questions you have, about a list of eight of them.
I'm afraid I do.
But that'll be next lesson. So until then, please write us. You can do so at...
Info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
.net.
N-E-T. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.